You ready? Lovely. How are you, Rory?
I'm good. It's been a couple of weeks off.
It's been a while, isn't it?
It has. How are you?
Yeah, doing all right. Obviously, got back from New York last week, last Saturday, so that's why we've had a bit of a hiatus. Been on Holly Bob's.
How was that?
Yeah. New York's great. We were just talking about beforehand. It's just like, I don't know, there's just something about it. It's just the energy. It's like the movies. When you're there, you know, like everything you'd imagine. You know, I'd be sitting there listening to two New Yorkers have a fucking conversation and be like, ooh, like, this is just like TV.
Is the New York accent exaggerated?
Oh, it's exactly what you'd think it'd be. Yeah, come on, dog. Don't play me like that.
Coffee.
There was these two guys who were like, must have been some kind of construction workers or whatever, just talking about potentially having diabetes, and they'd be like, you know, it's not good for your blood, your heart, you know. It's like, it was just hilarious. And then you'd see some of these old Jewish women who were just talking so loud. Everyone though puts their phone on loudspeaker, no matter how old they
talk.
Are. Yeah.
So everyone's walking down the road having a.
Not just like the young youths, you got everyone, old people, young people, blacks, Asians, whites, everyone. Just like, yeah, you had these old Jewish people just being like, talking in a family, like in a fucking museum. Stop it.
You know, yeah, Americans are loud at the best of times,
aren't they? Yeah. So, yeah, doing all right. I mean, I had a bit of a cold. I might have a bit of a coughing, so I might cough throughout. So I do apologise to our listener. I don't know who that one person is. But doing all right. You wanted to talk about the subjects. I think we're going to try, take turns in different subjects or...
Yeah, I think see that's what good. We'll do. I think if we come up with something that's topical, without wishing to get too deep, obviously there's a lot of topical things going on in the world now that we probably should leave for a later date. But if we think of something, I think... Because some weeks, I know, like, some weeks you're creative, some weeks I'm creative, and some weeks one of us has an idea. But I think this is a pretty good one.
I know for me, the purpose of doing this podcast, obviously, is to have a good conversation, a good laugh with my friend. You know, everyone's doing podcasts, so why the fuck not? But I obviously want to chat shit and have a joke and have a laugh, but I like just talking about things in general.
Yeah.
You know, different subjects and stuff. And I think even though we probably look like idiots and potentially sound like idiots most times, and we probably are idiots, to be fair. I don't know, like today's subject, for instance, you wanted to talk about cancel culture.
Yes.
Which, do you know what? I was thinking about it and I was like, if this was maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, I would absolutely have some different opinions on it. And my thoughts around it have just adjusted quite a lot around, I don't know, just the whole what it means and what it is and what people think it is really and how it affects it.
Should we start by trying to like set a definition? Because cancel culture... We used to think of it as someone getting cancelled. But people don't really get cancelled anymore. Unless you're a nonce. Who was the last high-profile cancelling?
Well,
Rolf Harris? Cosby?
Cosby was a big one. Jimmy Savile?
No, because he didn't actually get clocked till after he died.
Yeah, but that was still part of the old cancel culture.
Yeah.
Legacy.
Yeah. Who started Me Too? Hollywood bloke.
Weinstein.
That was how the Me Too movement started and everything.
Is that it? Yeah, is that where it began?
I think the Me Too thing started there.
Oh right, that's like a subsection of cancel culture. Like cancel culture is this overarching. I actually looked at the definition because I wanted to ask you, what do you think the definition is of cancel culture?
So I think there's two different things. I think there's cancel culture,
yeah,
and then there's being cancelled. There's two different things. Being cancelled is you've done something, usually something horrendous, which means that you're casted out of the public eye.
Yeah.
And in instances like Weinstein or Bill Cosby, I think it's absolutely correct that, you know, you can't be raping people and then coming back into public life and then it was like on Twitter the other day, someone said about a certain footballer, rape allegations aside, you have to admit he is a really decent crosser of a football or something like that. But you cannot
do something like that and then come back into the public eye, obviously.
Well, but cancel society in general.
Yeah, society in general. Yeah, especially have your old career back. Cancel culture is where people take much less offences and try and apply that same logic to it. So, you know, oh, he said this, therefore he should be cancelled. And usually it's something completely on a different level. It might be, you know, you got it a lot when Trump was president. Oh, he's a Trump fan. He should be cancelled. He's a Trump supporter. Yeah. He should be cancelled. Now, that's where I think cancel culture is an absolute, like, non-entity. Like, it's had a negative effect on society. You are, yeah. Yeah, I just had hiccups. It's an absolute...
My face,
right? Yeah, I know. It's the Diet Coke I'm drinking.
Yeah, you need it.
I know. Yeah, that's where it's negative for society. When people can't say something they believe, even if it's slightly problematic. Like J.K. Rowling, for example.
Yeah, all right.
She said something that some people will find really offensive.
Well, they did.
Some people will agree with.
They have.
Yeah, and some people, like me, don't really care. I'm still going to enjoy Harry Potter when I watch it. Do I agree with everything she says? No. Do I agree with something she says? Possibly.
Oh, he's not even saying a yes.
But I've got a job.
Bold job.
Yeah. But yeah, do I think that she deserves to be struck away from, you know...
Yeah, but then there's an argument to make that she's actually even been fucking struck off. You know, this is... Yeah. Did you see that the thing this week on... was it Marks and Spencer's or?
Oh my goodness! Yeah, with the hats? With the hats.
So obviously, the thing about it, right? So the advert, there was an advert this week that Marks and Spencer's put out where they had three different coloured Christmas hats in the fire, and I think the whole joke of it would just be like, you know, people don't want to do traditional stuff anymore, something of that.
People don't like wearing hats at Christmas.
People don't like wearing hats at Christmas, right? And
it was green. It was green, white, and
green, white, and
red.
Red. What would traditionally be Christmas colours in their mind.
Yes.
Now, they probably made this months ago. August it was filmed. You know, they would have had their ideas and thoughts about it. What were we, about a month in maybe to the Israel-Palestine conflict?
Yeah, 7th of October it was.
Well, you've tracked this, haven't you?
I'm a big fan of the news.
Check if you're on it.
Yeah, exactly.
But to be honest, I actually think if this came out 2 years ago, there might have been a much greater, I don't know, just press and push for them to probably be cancelled even more so. I think now what happened...
We have to explain what exactly happened. Well, they were going in the fire and people said that it was the colours of the Palestine flag that they were throwing in the fire.
Sorry, I thought we said that.
No, we didn't. No, we just said about the colour of
the
flag.
Yeah, well, the fact that it was the Palestinian colours, and obviously currently there are people out protesting... And all of that sort of stuff, which we may or may not get into in this podcast. But I think 2-3 years ago, the response to that probably would have been a bit more extreme in terms of trying to cancel Marks and Spencer's or just whatever the outrage would have been. Now there's a few people that will still make comment, but all people have to do now is just apologise. And now it's probably going to be forgotten by next week. For me, over the last few years, I don't know if it's COVID, if things have actually got worse. Yeah, because part of the idea of cancel culture is that it's coming from an idea that is of people that are being quite sensitive. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
they're going to have this outrageous sort of reaction.
Offence is based on sensitivity, isn't it?
For sure.
Because you could say something that I don't like or I disagree with. Me and you disagree almost every day.
Absolutely.
But,
no, we don't.
But it's the reason that we're able to be mates and still disagree, like most normal people, is that I can say, I disagree with you. And you can go, okay, fair enough, I think you're wrong. What drink do you want? And we can move on with our day. I'm going to the bar, what do you want? The problem arises when someone says, I disagree with you, you need to change your opinion to what I think, otherwise we ain't being mates.
It's not even that, it's also the apologising of it all.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, it's like, apologise, and we're like, I think one of the problems with cancel culture is like, who are we apologising to? I'd always hear people that were actually in the limelight say, well, the people that wouldn't apologise, but who am I actually apologising to? You're just saying apologise.
Yeah, I mean...
Do you know that thing about Rastamouse years ago?
But they were saying it was racist.
So Rastamouse, because there was a Rastafarian man. Rastamouse, it was this animation on BBC which depicted sort of these puppets that were knit together. It was a superhero Rastafarian mouse, and he had a Rastafarian accent, right?
Yeah.
There was some people that complained to the BBC that this was racist and this should be cancelled. I think it ended up being 50 middle-aged white women.
Of course it was. It always is.
He said that.
Yeah.
They'll be coming after you next.
Yeah.
I think now they'd be called Karens, right?
They would be called Karens.
Karens.
Yeah. But Karens can be either. Karens can be white, right-wing or left-wing.
Well, we'll get into this right-wing, left-wing thing about it, because I actually want to talk about that later.
Okay, cool.
But so BBC ends up taking it off the air, cancelling it. Then you had this, you know, this support from the Caribbean community saying, why have you taken it off? It's not racist. We love it. We don't have superheroes.
Yeah. Well, if anything, it's good. Surely it's good that area of the world. Because let's be honest, one thing we can agree on is that when it comes to things like superheroes, when it comes to things like movies, and when it comes to
the enemies, yeah.
Even when it comes to things like, you know, where are most films based? If they're not based in America, they're usually based in like London or in, you know, Milan or, you know, a Western country.
Yeah.
It's actually nice to see, you know, for example, Pocahontas was the only Native American Disney princess.
Yeah.
And people thought that was great. If Pocahontas came around now, people might say that it's a generalisation on Native American women and try and cancel it.
So, they've done that with remakes, haven't they? They changed kind of like colours and characters and storylines based on that premise alone. Because I think they did that with Mulan, right?
Yeah, oh, I don't know. See, I'm not... My house, when I was growing up, my house was never really a Disney house. I've only seen the classics. You know,
it was more the Looney Tunes.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I haven't seen many Disney films, but I just know about ones I read about. So I didn't know what Mulan was, so
okay.
I swerved it.
Fair enough.
If you've watched Mulan and you want to give me a quick synopsis of the
plot. Mulan is I don't even know which Asian denomination, but she's a samurai.
She's South Asian then, if she's a samurai. Yeah,
and pretends to be a boy to become a samurai and some nonsense, but then falls for a white person. And but I think I haven't seen the new one, but I think there was some elements of that storyline change. I think they've also done that with, obviously, they made Little Mermaid black, didn't they?
Yeah, I see that they kicked off about that as well.
Yeah, so I don't know what that's about.
I mean, you'd think
Will Smith was a genie, he was black, but they said he was supposed to be a genie, I don't know.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode about Will Smith as well. We'll swear.
I'd rather not. I'd rather be cancelled. I don't want to be punched either.
The mermaid thing's weird as well, because ain't it set in the Caribbean?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a fucking mermaid.
You'd be surprised that it was white in the first place. That the mermaid was white in the first place.
I mean, it's a mermaid first and foremost, so I wouldn't be surprised at much. Because, you know, what colour is a mermaid supposed to be?
Well, I don't know. But it's a bit like the Idris Elba thing. Like saying,
is he a mermaid?
No. They were saying that he could be the next James Bond.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And everyone kicked off like, oh, you can't have a black James Bond. I don't think that... I think most normal people aren't really bothered what colour James Bond is.
I'd be bothered enough to say they make no sense, and I can see what they're trying to do.
But is James Bond meant to be the same person?
Yes, or not Doctor Who.
I thought James
he's
Bond.
Not if Idris Elba became Doctor Who, that would make much more sense than him becoming James Bond.
See, again, I'm not a big James Bond fan, but I assume James Bond was the code name for that agent. I didn't realise it was meant to be the same geezer. I didn't realise we were meant to believe that the old Scottish bloke and Piers Brosnan and Daniel Craig were all the same geezer.
His code name was 007.
Right, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think his actual name was James Bond.
I don't think I've ever watched the James Bond film.
You must have.
Or maybe the one where they run over the London Eye.
The
Millennium Dome.
Yeah, that's O2. Our generation.
Yeah.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
GoldenEye. I played the GoldenEye on N64, one of the best computer games ever.
What did you do growing up?
Played football.
Yeah, I guess so.
I played football, watched football.
Yeah.
Learned odds for bets at the age of 7.
Yeah.
And then in the evening we had the news on after about 8 o'clock. So that was very much my... That's why I haven't... It's why I don't... I've never watched a Star Wars or a Star Trek.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't either. They're for losers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Well, that's the thing. I don't know how that we've gotten to that from cancel culture, but I do...
But I suppose it is all related, though, because it's political correctness. It's all... It's all...
Well, it's... I think what it is, it's more about... The way that I see it is it more surrounds these ideas of, I guess, potentially what is right and wrong. And that's why you kind of alluded to it earlier on, this idea about right wing and left wing. Right? I was reading the Wikipedia definition of cancel culture and what their
ideas were. Yeah, what was it? Do you know it off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, you can get it now, but basically it's around when a celebrity or someone well-known does or enacts something or behaviour where people want them cancelled from their job or social settings or something like that. But what it had gone on to say was that it's usually ideas sort of put out there by the right wing, and the complainers are essentially the left wing side. Now, you know,
I'd agree with that.
I would agree with, well, see, this is why I'm not so sure, because you know the Russell Brand thing, yeah?
Yeah.
So obviously Russell Brand recently, I mean, most people listen to this will know, you know, he had allegations of what, sexual abuse, and was it sexual abuse with underage girls as well?
Yeah, I mean, the
allegedly?
No, he definitely not. Well,
underage, no, we need to say allegedly to cover ourselves.
Yeah, well, allegedly, he was dating a 16-year-old when he was about our age, like 34, sure. 35. Now, I know that's not technically illegal, but if I
bought... Don't make yourself sound like a creep now.
No, it's not illegal in the eyes of the law, but if I bought out a 16-year-old next week and went, this is my new missus...
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, you'd say something, wouldn't you? You know, or if a third party, if one of our mates...
I'd say something to my mate behind your back.
Yeah, if no, one of our mates turned up with a 16-year-old, we'd all go,
Well, I'd be like, I'm going home, I can't deal with this.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Someone I know really well
Ooh.
Turned up with a... I think he had a 17-year-old missus when he was about 21, 22.
Yeah.
And everyone still calls him a nonce.
Oh, like, my God, of course.
Like, they're in their 30s now, both parties. And it's still... And that was... that. Looking back, that's not even that bad, 17 and 22.
No, but I remember, knowing someone when we were 15, 16, and I guess he was early 20s, he might have been 20 a bit. I remember saying to her, like, what the hell are you doing? That is nasty. That is nasty.
Yeah.
Anyway, great. I mean, you know, yeah, we should be...
So that was one of the allegations.
But the general point was, I was out with some friends, and we were just talking about it, and he goes, a friend of mine had said, something of the effect of da-da-da, ever since Russell Brand went right-wing. And I just thought, well, he's not though, is he? All of this stuff about where people's standings are in terms of left-right, it's not even about the left-right anymore. Because one of the things about cancel culture, one of the things that really pisses me off is that what it's done now is it's kind of made all these people that have quote-unquote been cancelled kind of like martyrs.
Yes.
Because these are like people that I used to listen to. Like, I used to listen to Joe Rogan's. I used to listen to Jordan Peterson a lot more. I used to listen to these folks who were generally...
Has Joe Rogan been cancelled?
He's not been cancelled. He tried to get cancelled during the pandemic because of his stance on COVID. And on COVID vaccinations, and he didn't believe in them. And he was taking this medicine which people thought was like horse like medication and shit like that.
But basically,
what I'm saying is that what these people used to stand for was... being kind of like the impartial voices of reason, watching everyone else going absolutely nuts and watching the left and right. Then what happens is they start expressing an opinion, they then get attacked, and now all of a sudden they're the right, just because there's people that are unhappy with them. And the people that are unhappy with them ain't even the left. Like, now when something is out there where people want to become allies, I'm surprised at some of the people that I know that feel impassioned about sort of one side of an argument versus another.
Give me an example, not of a person, but give me an example of an argument, if you can,
where
said something and you're like, oh my God, that person starts on that, they really shocked me.
It's not that, right, like, I don't want to get too much into it because I'm scared for my own personal safety, but just the Israel-Palestine conflict at the moment.
Yeah.
Right? I'm quite surprised at how many people I know seem to have a very strong opinion on it, outside of a handful of people that I would... excuse, because they're much closer to the either identity.
What I would say,
and some of these opinions come from people that I thought would like, I would be aligned with.
So what I will say on that is I think, and it's the reason I've been, usually I have a lot to say, as you know, I have a lot to say on social media about everything. And the reason that I have tried to stay away from making massive, massive statements on it is because it's a lot more, the more you research it and the more you go down a rabbit hole, it's so nuanced and there's so many different things going on that people don't know about, that actually, aside from the obvious, it's best to steer clear of it, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Because people are
people are a lot of people that are extremes on either side are only armed with either half or three quarters of the information.
Yeah.
And speaking to people, like there's people in my family that have worked in Israel, there's people in my family that have been to Palestine, and hearing them speak about different things that go on that you wouldn't even know, it just sort of makes you think like, oh, yeah, this is pretty fucked. Like, especially when you start talking about the involvement of Lebanon, the involvement of Egypt in it, it's so... I mean, I tried to... When it first happened...
You talk about that, but also the history of the Holocaust.
Of the area, the history...
No, but the history of the Holocaust. Yeah. Like, and the emotions that are entangled in both sides in terms of their own personal histories.
Yeah. And even, like, I try to watch...
Both sides with extreme feelings.
Exactly. There's a politician called Rory Stewart who's... He was in line to be the PM when he was a Tory, but he's since been kicked out of the Tory party or left the Tory party.
I don't mind Rory Stewart.
I like Rory Stewart a lot. Not just because we share a name. But
you like each other too.
Yeah. But he's an expert on Middle Eastern politics, and he did a video on YouTube where he's speaking to Alistair Campbell, who also has his history in that region, but more in Iraq. But we won't go there. And he was trying to go through, right, where does this start? And he basically went through from 1940 in about 15 minutes and explained everything that happened. And after I watched that video, I was just like, do you know what? I'm going to steer clear of this because it's above. Not even my level of intellect, because I don't want to talk myself down in that respect, but it's something that I can't be bothered to do the amount of hundreds and hundreds of hours of research and learning and memorising people and groups and uprisings and dates and prime ministers. And I just can't, it's just not worth it for me anyway. I don't care to involve myself so deeply in it because I think it would drive me crazy. This is something that's been going on for 70 odd years, and I just hope everybody on both sides is safe and that one day the region can have some form of peace. And that's as far as I'll go in terms of opinions. Mm. But like you said, a lot of people we know don't have the option. They don't have the privilege to be able to ignore it because it's affecting people in their family. It's affecting people that they went to school with or that they...
Are you trying to sound good too?
No, everyone. I'm just trying not to get cancelled.
You're panicking all of a sudden about to get cancelled.
No, I just don't want... Because I don't want to offend anyone. Because that's another thing about cancel culture. A lot of it arises from offending people, but also a lot of people just don't want to offend people.
Well, I think part of the dangers of cancel culture is that for the longest time, it felt like it's this thing with the hats in the fireplace. I mean, it's because you don't know where it's coming from. You can insult someone and you can upset someone unintentionally, but, you know, you should be able to, one, apologise and get past it. I think one of the examples of cancel culture that a lot of people don't like is that, all right, so say someone did something wrong, then there would be this outcry of this person is an arsehole, they need to apologise. Mm-hmm. So then they would apologise, and then they would double down on the hatred and tell them they need to do this, they need to lose that, even if they do apologise. You couldn't even afford to say sorry, even if you did feel it, whether you was pretending or not, because after that, it would be a case of actually they'll just be doubling down and coming and attacking even more.
That was what I don't think that much. You always used to say never apologise.
Well, yeah, I watched yesterday actually. Funny enough, I watched this one on. Have you heard of that podcast Trigonometry?
No, what's it about?
So it's these two blokes. I think one used to be a comic, but basically it's what I would say is where a lot of these people who I like it by the way. I can watch some of it. I don't watch it loads, but. Anyone basically that gets cancelled, this comedian called Tony Hinchcliffe went on it, right? And he got cancelled a few years ago, or they tried to, because of a joke that he made and that went out online. And either he made the joke or someone else has made the joke, goes, I'm glad that I'm on Trigonometry because I'm happy to talk to you guys, but it means that I've done something to get cancelled. Because that's what this podcast has. It has people on there and they just talk about trying to reason. And, you know, these people out there who feel that they've got a lot to offer the world, but of comics.
Yeah. Would you, do you not...
And so...
I thought of something. But I can't finish what you're saying, but I thought of something.
This Tony Hinchcliffe, he was getting cancelled and he was asking people for advice. And one of the biggest bits of advice he'd got was obviously not to apologise. Because these were from a couple of people that had told him not to apologise, that had gone through the same thing. And it's the same thing as Charlie Sheen, you know. He was uncancelable because he never apologised. Trump to a degree is the same way because he doesn't really apologise.
And then his fans will back him regardless as well.
If you apologise, then you lose the people that will stand by you.
Yeah. Right? So the thing I was going to ask you is, you talking about that, what you were saying there, it got me thinking.
about you get invited onto this podcast if you've been cancelled. And then I started to think, there's some people that probably should have been cancelled, or at least attempted to. Someone should have attempted to cancel them, who have never been cancelled. Not because they haven't apologised, but because they seem to be on the left, on the left side politically. And I'm thinking of Frankie Boyle. I'm thinking of Jimmy Carr. Not that Jimmy Carr's particularly left-wing. And I'm thinking of, like, surely David Walliams.
Cancelled.
We think of everything he's done.
What's he done?
Well, he's dressed up as a he's basically, Little Britain. Think about Little Britain now.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, right? I got you.
As far as I know, not many people have been taken into account for it. I found Little Britain when I was about 14. I thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
Brilliant.
I used to sit in the back of science class, and if I got asked a question, I go, I don't know. And you were guaranteed a massive shocking laugh. If you did that in class, you were guaranteed a massive laugh. Yeah. But looking back now, the dressing up as a woman, they're taking the piss out of disabled people, you know, saying that, you know, when he gets out of the wheelchair and stuff like that. If that came about now, he'd be finished.
Yeah.
Frankie Boyle used to make jokes about Harvey Price.
Yeah.
Non-stop. He had one joke where he basically said all Down syndrome people have the same haircut. Like, can you imagine that now? He's now still on TV all the time. Jimmy Carr, like, makes jokes about people dying in 9/11. He's that sort of...
Yeah.
I was watching Jimmy Carr's podcast yesterday while I was cleaning the kitchen. He's a very intelligent, very likeable guy.
I was watching him this morning.
But do you not think, hang on, how have they not been cancelled?
Well, no. Because, no, absolutely not. Because I think this is the interesting thing, I think, with stand-up comics that seem to have become the spokespeople of our times these days.
Right? They are. They stand in front. They're the court jesters.
They are the court jesters, right? But what's...
You are the court jesters.
Yeah, I guess so, but... So you've got, right, the reason why I think in large part, and Jimmy Carr's a really, really good example, because there's when you keep it within the craft and then you take it outside the craft, I think, in a lot of ways. So you as a stand-up comic, right, with stand-up comic is supposed to be the last bastion of truth because you can still joke about things. The thing about it is if it's funny, it's funny, it's not offensive, people will laugh. If you do something on stage, if people get offended by that, they probably shouldn't watch it or go somewhere else because
I agree.
That's the art, right?
Do you know Jim Jefferies?
Yeah, Jim Jefferies.
Same thing.
Okay.
He got punched on stage.
Yeah, but then what you see is you see people like Jim Jefferies or Russell Brand or, you know, Joe Rogan, where they're going to have their own podcast or they're going to go on these panel shows. And now they're outside of the scope of the art. Now they're at themselves being out there. I don't think that crosses over. If I'm on like a TV show and I start saying, oh yeah, that joke I made about Hitler was great, you know, people laughed at, how did you get away with that? And then you start saying, well, it's based on my own opinion because of X, Y, and Z.
That's where
you're going to get fucking murked.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, well, but I'm a comedian, I'm only joking. No, but you're not, because you're not on stage anymore. You know,
right,
so many comics have taken themselves off the stage and are expressing their opinion to the point where there is no lines, there's no boundaries between it.
So,
you know, and then you've got these people that start filling themselves up a bit too much now. And now that they, like, there's a lot of comics I see on TV now, which I used to love, who feel like they're untouchable or they're God's gift and that they can say whatever they like.
Examples.
I'm not giving examples, it's just how it is.
Yeah.
These aren't the ones that I'm around with. I'm talking about like the super famous
people
that live on YouTube,
people
that are on podcasts. Yeah. You know, it's just quite bizarre how the attitudes change. You can even tell in their clothes. They dress like they're like superstars, you know, they don't look weird anymore. They got expensive clothes. They fly on expensive.
Well, they're, you know, you think about it. You set out an arena tour in the UK. You do 50 dates.
Yeah.
You do Sheffield, Brighton, London, Plymouth, Exeter. Except you go up and down the country for a year doing 50 dates. You sell an average of 5,000 tickets a date. You're a millionaire. You're not just a millionaire. You're someone like Lee Evans. When he does like four dates back to back in the O2 in London, 12,000-15,000. Kevin Bridges selling out that massive gaff in Glasgow that we walked past.
Yeah,
you're making millions.
Yeah,
so they are superstars. It's just because they're so relatable. We don't think of them as.
But
superstars.
Just because you joke about it does not give you carte blanche to talk about it everywhere and feel that you can't not say it because you're a comic.
Yeah. All right. So from a personal perspective,
do you prefer to watch? If I say, right, here's two envelopes, and in this envelope is tickets to go and see a squeaky clean comedian, someone who stays very, very... So, Lee Evans and John Bishop.
Yeah.
Who else is very squeaky clean? That sort of, you know, clean cut. Or on the other hand, you can go and watch a comedian who is like a Frankie Boyle or a Ricky Gervais, well, or stands a bit closer to the... What do you prefer?
That's a hard question, because for me, if it's funny, it's funny. Like, that's not... I know what you're trying to get there, and I don't want to be like difficult with the answer. Because the easy answer is say, oh yeah, I want to go to someone who's going to offend the fuck out of me.
Yeah, see,
Lee Evans is one of my favourite comedians of all fucking time. Yeah? When James Acaster is clean. Right? He's clean. That is a clean comic. Peter Kay, clean.
Peter Kay is one of the greatest ever.
Clean. Yeah?
He is clean.
Clean. But also, I would rather see Peter Kay than Frankie Boyle.
Oh, right? 100%.
Yeah? But when I see people that really take it to the line, like...
You must see them on the circuit all the time now.
But you kind of see, unfortunately, kind of like bad versions to a degree. But the better you get, the better you see. Like, I remember seeing... I've said it a few times, but it was like an education when I saw Dane Baptiste. And he came to Zebrano's for Big Nose Comedy, like, on this Christmas one. And it was just an education, because he was talking about how, like, no means no. You know, and for women, we as men need to protect them. And he absolutely flipped it on his head where no mean no for men. And I remember just thinking, like, how brilliant. How brilliant, because...
See, I need to see this guy, because the only one I've seen...
That could have gone bad.
Did people laugh?
Blew up. It was amazing. It was one of the best things I've ever seen live. For me, just because of... I remember at the time trying this bit myself and really struggling with it, because I just couldn't find a way to talk about... I couldn't find ways to talk about the NHS. I couldn't find really good ways to talk about women. I couldn't find really good ways to talk about being black. You know, I just couldn't find good ways of really talking about anything. Because I want to make a comment about stuff. My comedy, you know, I often think about what I'm doing. You know me. You know, like...
Yeah, yeah. You were talking about things that are current in your life now.
No, but we could very well, like, you know, fucking think about this when we're in our fucking 20s. Like, you know, if I'm going to be someone that's going to go out and do this stuff, there's going to be things that could come out where, you know, potentially I could get cancelled.
Yeah.
Yeah? And I'll say that now, and I'll, you know, it's going to be out there, but, like, I don't really hide away from it either.
But if you do get cancelled in 10 years' time, it means that you're big enough to have been cancelled. So that means that...
And I've just got to make sure I'm willing to take it, because I know that I've lived a life, you know. No, for real, you know what I'm saying? And it's like...
Yeah. But I think your sort of comedy is different to someone who I've seen a few people.
Look, my comedy now.
You're trying to shock. You're getting up there and you're trying to shock. You're not trying to make people laugh.
I think there's an element to that, and I also think there's an element of not understanding again the nuances of it and what is funny and what is offensive, because comics aren't trying to be offensive. They're trying to be funny. They may offend some while doing it, but then what you get is like some of these comics are just really buying into their own shit. Because of like podcasts and YouTube and being a celebrity outside of just the straight art, it's like footballers, it's like fucking Bellerin.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be known for your game, but he's coming out of interviews being like, you know, I'm a stylist, I'm this. Like, how much does that shit piss you off?
It winds me up, because he was playing so badly, and then he's sitting at Paris Fashion Week chuffing on a B&H, and it's like, come on, mate, you're being paid at 80 grand a week to play for Arsenal, some of which. My family is putting into that because we're buying season tickets and we're buying shirts, and you're fucking sitting at Paris Fashion Week smoking a snout, drinking a beer with your dad.
Yeah.
Like, and he's a nice guy, Bellerin, as well.
Yeah, but I have that same feeling for some of these comics. It's like, I appreciate all this other stuff, but your bread and butter, your B&B, is the game, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But they also have to... There has to be a bit of a separation, because also what you're doing in your performance and in your craft, you can't just... I can't go out there and say some of the stuff in the way that I say it on stage out in real life, because it doesn't work either. Imagine I spoke in punchlines the entire time.
Well,
be fucking
depends great. How many beers you've had.
Yeah.
But all right. Have you ever been at a comedy night where someone has genuinely offended?
Oh, of course.
And what's been the fallout? Have you ever been at a comedy night like where the person who's put the night on has been like, I ain't having them back? Not because
times.
They're shit, because they're...
Yeah, a couple times. I've been to one in particular, but the guy who runs it's a bit of a nutcase, but where he's booted someone off stage. Yeah.
What happened?
Well, this guy was doing some... He was doing some jokes. It was really rough. Really bad.
What, rough as in bad comedy or just, rough as in just offensive?
Both, because that's what happens. If you're doing... touchy subjects. He's talking about Shemima Begum, and
I mean,
he's talking about paedophilia and the acceptance of certain things, and you're like, ooh, God.
Was the crowd not having it at
all?
Oh,
no, it was bad. I mean, even for me, there's not much that would make my bum tighten up, but shit. But that's more not because I'm offended, more because I'm like, oh, this is bad. And then they end up getting into a bit of an argument, and then...
In the middle of the thing?
Well, the MC, the guy running it, was like, move on to something else or something. And then the guy goes, well, that's pretty much all I've got, so I should probably just leave now. And then... he was like, yeah, that's probably best. And then his mate ends up going, oh, he's just fucking joking. And his friend started backing up. And the guy's like, no, I'll get off. And then the guy running the night was like, get the fuck out of here. Don't ever come back. It was...
that must have been very uncomfortable.
Oh, it was so awkward. I mean, I can't go to this guy's gigs ever again because it's brutal. Man.
How many people were there?
This was when it was all right. There was a few people there. And fair play, like, the comics afterwards really did bring the night back up, you know.
Imagine being the geezer going on after that.
Yeah, it was Reese Kidd.
What, the ginger guy?
He did a good job. He did a good job bringing it back, like.
But as in even his stuff, though, his stuff is quite, like, he talks a lot about Northern Ireland.
Yeah, he likes to do crowd work, so he was just acknowledging it and talking to it, and that helps. You know, when you're talking about stuff like that, he's like, I'm about to do some Northern Ireland terrorist jokes. So that's all I've got, sort of thing.
Yeah, but his really stuff is job. His stuff. I don't know whether I relate to it because my family.
Because I have
IRA supporters in my family. I'm joking. I don't know whether I relate to it because I have an Irish family. But his stuff is very good. It's tasteful. It's good. It's not too political. It's funny. Yeah, you know, he's a good comic.
Yeah.
But he's maybe not the person I would put on straight after someone's been booted off for joking about a terrorist.
Yeah, but you can't...
The fact that he brought it back is testament to him.
You get the license to... Like, I get to say certain things. I often think about this as well. I'm quite lucky and fortunate to be black because I can say an awful lot more than other people.
Massively.
It's like a fucking superpower. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could be anyone or anything and all of a sudden it's like... You know, because in my mind, like, we're like the same. Like, we're straight up, you know what I mean? But... You know, because I've got this skin, I can say something.
But obviously, what we talk about,
you've had it so good your entire generation.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I've grown up surrounded by privilege. Every
look at this affluence.
That's why I hang around with you to make bring me back down to earth.
I thought it was to clean your house.
Nah, you've seen the state of it.
He's got a wife for that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that'll get me cancelled.
Yeah.
Sure. No. It's funny, actually. You could actually work that into a routine. You could literally say, like, I can say what I want. Because that is the way... There are middle-class white people who view things like that. They'll accept something from one type of person. It's like, I sent this comic on Instagram the other day. And he's a white guy who's married to a black girl. Like, he's from London.
Yeah.
And he's obviously spent some time in Nigeria. And a lot of his bit that he does... is taking the piss out of Nigerians, which I think there's very few cities in the world where that could roll. But because it's London, and because it's clear he's appreciating the culture, he stands there and does like a 5-minute bit taking the piss out of Nigerians, and he's talking about flying on a Nigerian airline to Nigeria, and it's brilliant. But if you then took that to Oxford, or you took that to Brighton, I reckon you'd get a lot of pushback doing stuff like that.
Well, just no laughs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has
essentially
to
know. Being accused of being offensive.
But his the thing that I noticed about him is his 60% of his crowd are black Londoners.
But that's probably because his stuff resonates. Part of the reason how you get laughs is because people know what the fuck you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I experience issues where I'm talking about my black stuff, and I do think, you know, there is a strong chance that I'm not funny, but there's enough evidence to know that I can pull it off to some degree.
It's like when you went to that place in South London. Do you remember when you went, you had a gig on like the Tuesday and a gig on like the Thursday and you did exactly this. I came on the Tuesday and you absolutely murdered in this place in somewhere in Northwest London.
Belsize Park. That's it. Third comedy.
Yeah. And then you went to about 3 days later, you went to this place like almost like Bromley Way. Do you remember? It was like Lee Green or somewhere like that. Lee Green, Bexley Heath, somewhere like around there. Yeah. And you went and you were like, yeah, I did exactly the same set. And yeah. just everyone in there
yeah.
was white.
Well, there's a few places where in South London where I'm like, oh, it's, or yeah, there's definitely some places. But what I've realised is that there's a certain type of white person. Because I went to Dartford not too long ago.
Yeah. You know, Dartford. Yeah, Dartford's rough.
Rough. My people.
It's almost like they're the sort of geezers like West Ham and Millwall tattoos on the back of their head.
Oh, I mean, you know, if I went there and I was there by myself, I'd be scared.
Yeah, who'd you take with you?
No one, because it was an unbring. It was a drive. I had to drive. It was Sunday. It's a long. But
what, in a pub?
Shout out to Emmy Twee, Growler Comedy, legit as it gets when it comes to a comedy night. One of the best nights I've had.
How many people in the audience?
Know 50 60 people, and it's real
for Dartford that on a Sunday night.
That but is... that's what she's saying. There's nothing else to do in the area, so she puts this.
Is she from Dartford?
Yeah.
I've seen her. She was on the IM. Yeah. I know who you're talking about. She's good actually.
And so, you know, I'll go to Clapham, and I think part of the issue with Clapham is that, again, you know, who's from Clapham? No one grew up in Clapham. It's imported white people.
Yeah.
You know, where
white people went to uni in London, got a job in finance.
I'll make certain black jokes and it's like, ew.
They don't know whether they're allowed to laugh or not.
Dartford, fucking love it. When I say, you know, I'm black, obviously, because I grew up without a dad, boom. Like, they love it.
Yeah.
You know, they love it. And that's what I want from it. You know, I don't want you to be upset by the fact that that's a realistic situation for me. I am black and I grew up without a dad. Yes, it's a joke because the circumstances of it's part of the stereotype, but our individual circumstances was different. It's a joke. That's what you get.
But also, it's funny how you're performing to white people in Clapham, you're performing to white people in Dartford, but working class white people are more likely to laugh because they probably live up in similar. That's why you're. I remember you saying ages ago, and I know we've veered off cancel culture, but I love that about this podcast. You said ages ago that
you feel
more aware of your class sometimes in this country than you do of your race, and I think that could be linked into that.
Being in New York and America, the whole being black is an entirely different thing.
Yeah, culturally, it's a different thing.
It was interesting in New York because it was interesting seeing just regular black people.
What do you mean?
Honestly, it was weird. I never thought I'd picture it like. I went there being like, they're just doing regular, they own businesses, they're just sort of hanging out.
Yeah, because they're middle class black people.
Yeah.
But you get middle class black people here as well.
Not where I live, not where you live. Like, no. In the working class areas, black people, like, I don't know, I just don't experience a lot of...
Do you think that's a big city thing or an America thing?
I think Americans have a much greater grasp on their identity of what being black is. I think being black in this country, a lot of people don't really, there's a lot of identity crisis. It's why, you know, by some black people, I'm either too white, and some white people, I'm too black. Like, no one can pin me down, because I've never really been unafraid, or I've never had an issue with my personal identity, really, have I? You know, I'm insecure in some ways, but I've always been who I am.
Actually, that's a whole other episode, where we could talk about people, some people in London especially resonate more with where their parents come from. Like, you'll get someone in London to turn around and say, yeah, I'm Jamaican. And it turns out that them nor their parents were born in Jamaica. It was their grandparents.
Well, in America, they have a great sense of African-American.
Italian-American. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Asian-American. And I think that's an important part of...
Yeah. Well, you never hear someone say, or very rarely hear someone say, I'm Anglo-Irish. As in, like, my mum's English, my dad's Irish.
Or me saying I'm African-English, because I'm proud to be English. Like, I don't really have much understanding of my...
Because you weren't brought up by your dad. If you'd have been sent to Nairobi every summer, you would have an idea.
Hard skin.
Yeah, you probably had to drink more.
That's
as well.
Good foot strength.
Good foot strength. Yeah, you'd be better at walking.
You'd be much slimmer.
Yeah, but yeah, you would have an appreciation because you'd know the music, you'd know the food, you'd know the different cultural groups that are there, you'd know the music. Yeah. Whereas like.
I grew up with a half Irish, half Bangladeshi mum who boiled her vegetables till they were great.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There you go. And it's just what culture do you want from me, people?
The same as me. I feel more... Like, my dad never took me to Ireland because growing up, going to Ireland for him was a chance to go with his brothers and his nephews and go on a piss for 3 or 4 days. He didn't want like a snotty little 10-year-old knocking about with him. Yeah. So I got taken to Ireland a few times as a child and then didn't go again until I was probably 18, 19. So you and so, so I could drink. Because in that sort of culture, the blokes don't want the kids knocking about. Yeah. You know what I mean? They want to go, and this is our boys' weekend, and we'll go fishing, and we'll go for a few beers, yeah. And we'll, you know. So,
but do you know, to kind of bring it full circle, because that's an interesting thing about the council culture, is that really it's only in certain places. Because, you know, London, I would say, and maybe you could talk to maybe a Brighton or a Bristol or some of these areas, but that's why I always think with this country, and they talk about right and left, you know, it's predominantly a right-leaning country in a lot of ways. It's only main hotbeds of left culture,
you've just named culture. London, Brighton, Bristol,
Devon,
some places like hippie places.
Well, that's why I think it's quite unrealistic to actually cancel someone properly. Like Julian Assange probably appeared to get cancelled legitimately because he's fucked. You know, John Snowden had to move to another country.
Was he
a whistleblower for the, I think, for some kind of government or something? Well, someone looked down.
Who is the presenter on Sky News or BBC News? He was sending pictures of his ass to like 16-year-old boys.
Oh, I don't know that.
Recently,
another bloke.
Yeah, a Welsh. I don't want to name him in case you get the wrong geezer. Yeah. Someone sees it, but he was sending pictures of his ass when he was about 50 to like a not. I don't know if he was underage, but he was like 17, 18 or something. Yeah. And he got clocked. Schofield.
There's a lot of nuance to that.
Schofield should never be allowed back.
But he
should be held to account for what he did.
But people had trouble with that because it's
like, I liked it.
Well, because he had just come out.
Yeah.
But
you can be, if you're a pedo, it doesn't really matter whether you're a straight pedo or a gay pedo. You should be treated as a pedo. That's what equality is about. seriously, you can't.
We need to get that. That's got to be a fucking saying.
That's got to be a Latin. But equality is that. Like, it's the equivalent of like if me and you commit a crime, for example. If me and you both go out here and nick a car each, right? And we both get caught at the same time under that's the same
circumstances. I'm getting caught first, we know this.
Yeah. You're getting caught getting out. I just need to caveat
this. Parking my own car.
He's the slowest person at doing anything. The slowest walker, the slowest eater, the slowest at getting up to leave somewhere. That you would be a terrible thief or a bank robber. Right? Anyway,
cancel your jaw right
the
now.
Idea of equality is that we're both punished in the same manner in the same way, right? That's what equality is. Equality isn't, oh, I'm going to charge him more because he's black, or he's going to get 10 years because he's black, and he's only going to get 5 because he's white. Mm. And that's what equality is. So if someone gets caught being a nonce or grooming, it shouldn't matter your sexual proclivities or your sexuality. You should be treated exactly the same, which is why, for me, Schofield should have been gone. Like, as soon as it came out that he'd been chatting to a 15, 16-year-old boy when he was that age, he should have been gone for me.
Yeah.
That the same way if his equivalent of... I was going to name someone else on this morning, but I'm not going to. If someone else on this morning who happened to be straight was caught chatting to a 15-year-old girl, it's wrong. They need to be treated exactly the same. Yeah. That's why the Schofield thing made me... Also, you've got to think about his mates, ain't you? Some of his mates who have kept their job and who have sort of seemed to have come out scot-free, I sort of think it's very unlikely that if one of my good mates, one of my inner circle, was grooming kids, I wouldn't have an inkling and I wouldn't know something about it.
Yeah, I mean, with the Russell Brand thing, I remember saying I thought it was quite interesting that Channel 4 was the one that made the documentary that outed this when... Similar to the Philip Schofield thing, them as an organisation had allowed for it to happen for such a long time.
Yeah, what's like when the BBC investigated themselves. It's like,
yeah, which makes sense to a degree. Someone had said, but I just find it quite interesting. It's like these. It just doesn't take like I don't know. We're veering off quite
largely. Yeah, Russell Brand's a very very strange one because. His whole personality was based on shagging a lot.
Yeah.
And everyone cheered him on 10 years ago. So now to see those same people being horrified. I guess you can't blame someone for shagging a lot. But I think the same people that are now acting completely, you know, horrified by the whole thing. Well, you were the same people cheering him on.
I think one of the things about counterculture is the inconsistencies it appears to have.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to... That's a good way to sort of surmise the chat we've had for the last hour, that it's not necessarily a bad thing all the time, but ultimately it's the inconsistency that people don't like.
Well, we've said some horrific stuff during this pod, but we'll probably get picked up on stuff that we didn't even realise.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of stuff that I might have said that I might get picked up on. But yeah, I think you're right. Like people need to be treated the same. We can't...
Well, now we're straying off to another subject, but because I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
What, you don't think if two people commit the same crime, they should be treated in the same way or do the same thing?
It depends on what things. There's so many different factors and stuff like that. Because you can't, not every case is the same.
I'll give you a quick example. Donald Trump, with his grab and bite comment,
yeah,
people were absolutely horrified.
Yeah.
There's lots of other politicians that have been caught saying and doing things where, because of their political leanings, they've got away with, or they've not been treated as harshly. That one comment, and I'm not saying it was a great comment, of course it doesn't look great, but that one comment was used to use Donald Trump like a punch bag for years, that he said something 10-15 years ago that you can go up and grab women by their private parts, which is horrendous. But one, we don't know if he was joking. Two, we don't know the whole context. And three, if that same comment had been said by Joe Biden or had been said by Bill Clinton, I mean, Bill Clinton actually has outstanding allegations against him.
He's done more than grabbing by the pussy.
Exactly. So why is Donald Trump almost used as a poster boy for sexual misconduct?
That's I guess that's kind of your whole point. I mean, it's hard making that point. It's hard bringing that point across because many people that would hear that would probably think you're defending him. That's probably why.
It's not I'm defending him. I'm saying if he's going down, everyone else got to go with him. If he's going down, Clinton should go with him. Yeah. Like, or if he's going down.
No, I think that's fair enough. That's why for me, I thought kind of like the Russell Brand thing, I thought that was kind of overblown to a degree, because I'm like, look, we've got a lot of precedent where this stuff has happened. Why has it got to be in the public eye? Just deal with him as you deal with him. I just, you know, for me, it was like, for me, it's like, unfortunately, this stuff seems to be reoccurring, but we have a precedent for it. So we know what the punishments are. We know what we need to do with it. Just deal with it. Why are we making this big show and pony about it? Because people are also made an example of, because one of the factors that you have to take into account is public notoriety, setting an example. You know, it's different if fucking Joe Bloggs around the corner who works at Tesco does something of the same ilk to someone that's famous.
Yeah.
Because part of that is, you know, you're setting an example. So
No, I agree 100% with you. Should we wrap it up by saying cancel culture good or bad?
It's bad. I'll go out and say that.
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
Should we do our fives? No, should we do our five aside?
But even the people that perpetrate cancel culture wouldn't even accuse themselves of being part of it. Do you know what I mean?
No.
It's one of those ways to offend people in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's offend one of those ways to say, look how much of a good person I am.
You look at sensitive, snowflakey type people. Mm-hmm. It's used as a way, as a, what tends to be a, not a pejorative, is that the right word? Something that is...
Yeah.
I've tried to use a big word there and I've absolutely fucking bottled it. What a bottle job. Right. We this week are doing our five aside. This is a great one from Rory. One that actually may get us cancelled still.
Yeah.
But it's our top five unpopular opinions.
Yes. Unpopular opinions. So they have to be, the only rule to it is that but as judged by me and Chris, they have to be something that more than 50% of the population would disagree with. Or that a certain section of people would disagree with.
I thought it was more like what people might think. It's an opinion of mine that's quite unpopular.
Yeah, an opinion of yours that what people would disagree with. People would, right.
Well, I just want to go back and say that I've got one or two that basically... people may agree with me, but it might be unpopular to some.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, do you want to go first or should I go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
And this is quite a big one, so I want to start off with it quite early on. I wasn't sure whether it's...
getting the big one out of the way.
Yeah, I'll get the big one out of the way. And my first unpopular opinion is... it's only really going to be unpopular with you, Rory, because you are the worst football fan I've ever known in my entire life.
Okay, just get the opinion. I'll refute that when I give my retort, but get your unpopular opinion.
You didn't always used to be. He was always sketchy. But in the last year or two, You've basically become the Hamas of football opinion. If you were
going to ask... This unpopular opinion is going to have... Is that the unpopular opinion? Or is the unpopular...
Yeah, it's unpopular with you. Yeah,
I'm the worst football fan.
If you was on Arsenal Fan TV, they'd think you were too much.
No.
You would stand out as being someone that was so inflammatory that people wouldn't even take you seriously. Like, you'd make... What's his name? Who's the one that went to Barstool? I mean, you'd make them all look fucking good.
The Troops.
Yeah. Or Mark Goldfish.
Is this
blow him out of the park.
Which opinion of this is this?
It's not necessarily...
Is this about the Saudis? Because I was horrified when Saudi Arabia got the World Cup.
It's not even that. It's like... The reason why you're an extremist when it comes to your football opinion, it's not necessarily your point of view. It's just how you do it. You may even have a point. People may even agree with you, but your methods are just far too
I'm extreme. Passionate.
You're not passionate. You're an absolute lunatic.
All right,
you're my only Arsenal fan friend, and I hate it because I cannot enjoy anything with you.
No, you enjoy going to the game.
You don't like succeeding anywhere.
You go to
the game.
You're just
the worst. You're worse than any Arsenal fan you could ever talk about.
You like going to games with me, though. We have fun when we go to the games.
Yeah,
it's just afterwards on the WhatsApp group when I'm. I'll take that.
Right, my fucking nightmare.
My first one is my only sport related one.
He won't even defend himself.
My sport related one is also related to football, and it's that partisanship has ruined football. So
what's the partisanship?
Partisanship is only being able to see. In fact, let's get the actual definition of the word partisan.
I'll get it while you check
this. I know what partisan means.
But
it's hard.
An ardent and enthusiastic supporter of some personal activity.
Yes.
So someone that's overly passionate.
The
definition of that. Right,
reason I think this is because we have VAR. We brought VAR in to alleviate mistakes from football, and it's actually made it 10 times worse because people only care when a mistake goes against their team. Mm. They don't care about the sport being more fair. They don't care about the product being better. They care about right decisions going in favour of their team. And it's ruining football. Like yesterday, Arsenal played Newcastle in a really, I thought, decent game. It had everything. People kicking each other, talking points. There was a dodgy goal that should have been disallowed for Newcastle. Arsenal ended up losing. And all of the talk afterwards hasn't been about the actual performance. It's been about the referees. And the Liverpool-Tottenham game a few weeks ago was the same. People are now incapable of just enjoying a game of football and talking about the actual game and how players played and who did well and who did what and the tactics. Because all they want to talk about is the refereeing performance and VAR and, no, my team should have won and here's why and XG. Absolute wankers. So that was my first one. Right, what's your second?
You just absolutely ignoring me.
No, what's your... No, because we could have a whole argument about football in it, but no one would listen. We ain't got a lot of listeners to throw away in the
but
first
you
place.
Just described yourself.
No, I ain't mentioned the
partisan. Like, you can't even talk about football because of all the stuff that don't even matter.
Think the integrity of the game matters. It's things that matter to me and things that matter to you. What's your second one? We need to get off this before people start reporting us.
Walking isn't an exercise.
I could scientifically debunk that, but
fucking nonsense. People that especially when I used to exercise quite a lot.
I literally have a sports degree, like.
What's your job? I've got one especially for that. I'll give you. I might go right back.
Honestly.
I'm going to go back to back after this. I'm going back to back.
Honestly, I might kick you out.
Do you know what my next one actually is?
No, let's do one at a time before we start going off on tangents.
Yeah, walking isn't an exercise.
Anything that raises your heart rate is an exercise.
If walking raises your heart rate, you can't exercise.
Right, have a look at us. Which one of us is walking most likely to raise their heart rate?
You.
Why me?
Because you are way more unhealthy than I am.
That's
you don't fuck the exterior.
That's
I'm an athlete.
Yeah, fucking offensive lineman for the Buffalo Bills.
You're fucking, but, yeah, you're the water boy. Your mama said.
Why is walking not an exercise? Tell me.
Well, because it's not rigorous enough. People act like, because fair enough, like, look, right, if you're someone that physically can't do much, yeah, you're massively obese or you've got some kind of disability, or you can't do strenuous exercise. Fair enough. If walking is the only thing you can do, that's what they tell you to do. Yeah? But when you're talking about actually trying to make gains, when I used to go to the gym and I'd play rugby on a Saturday, I'd go to the gym 3-4 times a week, yeah, and I'd tell people how much I exercise. And then they come, yeah, I exercise too. Oh, what do? Oh, well, I walk to and from work. I walk about an hour a day. Like, that is not the same. Yeah?
Can I?
I would lift more than you. I would run further. Run you would faster
run
further.
You would run further than me.
Well, not you, but maybe some.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah. But
these people who say that they walk, yeah, and I've seen fat fucks who exercise, actually exercise, yeah? And bear respect to them, because I was one of them, and I'm one of them soon. But this walking business, I got a Fitbit watch, and I track my walks, and I've done 1,200 steps today.
I literally have a Fitbit.
Oh, I'm at, what are you, fucking knackered? What? Oh, my God.
Can I just say?
Someone get them a fucking ice bath, quick.
Can I just say? For someone like me, I was about 18 months ago, I was running almost probably 4 or 5 times a week, right? Because I had a bit of weight that I wanted to get rid of. I probably should go to the gym a couple of times a week, but I've had loads going on the last few months and I haven't bothered. I will eventually get back in the gym. But until I get back in the gym, if I make sure that I do sort of between 6 and 10,000 steps a day and I make sure that I eat healthy 70% of the time, I will keep the weight off and I'll maintain a level of healthiness that's acceptable. Obviously, the going and drinking 8 pints of Guinness on a Saturday afternoon if we go to football and stuff like that, that's not gonna help me. But I think the basis for a healthy lifestyle, if you start off by saying, right, I'm going to eat healthy 80% of the time and I'm going to do between 6 and 10,000 steps every day, I think that's a good start. I don't think it should be your sole exercise for the rest of your life, but I think that's a pretty good start. If you're doing your steps,
hold it up as their main course of exercise.
No, my theory is, well, I've done my time. I've played football my whole life. If I want to have a year of just doing my steps and eating healthy, it's not going to kill me. But eventually, probably in the new year, I will get back in the gym. Not January, because January for gyms are fucking horrible. But probably February, March next year. I'll get back in the gym.
Yeah, when March is for birthdays and events, so I can't really do that.
No.
And then you've got summer reeling, it's hot outside, so I can't
By the time we go away...
Because, you know, it's too hot.
By the time we go away next year, right, on our now annual... Boys jaunt somewhere in Europe. Nice. I'll be in better shape than I am now.
Let's get cancelled next year.
But yeah, that's an unpopular opinion. My second one.
It's true.
Right, this could upset people.
All good.
The first lockdown was good.
Dream.
It was fun.
Great.
I understand that people had people in their family die, which was horrible.
Less than great.
Right, which was awful. But I'm talking about the actual fuss that people kicked up by just having to do nothing for 3 or 4 months was horrendous. Obviously, I understand if your mum is dying at that point, then it's a horrendous time for you personally. But people that were acting like it was the worst thing in the world that they had to just take a step back from life for 3 months was an overreaction.
Do you know what happened?
What?
The entire country experienced what is called the benefit state.
yeah, I guess they did. They sat in drinking all day.
And they fucking complained about it too. They got paid for doing nothing. And they complained about it too.
Do you know what? I was worried because I was still playing football at the time and I was like, oh, I ain't gonna be able to play football. I'm gonna get really unhealthy. I started running every day. I learned to cook. I could literally cook probably pasta before lockdown. I can now cook probably 10, 15 different things to a good standard.
Right. No, hold on, sorry, Rory. I've got a medal right here for you.
What I'm saying is that without that lockdown, I would never have learned how to cook. I'd have never have started running for exercise. Usually, I've only ever run up either to get fit for football or after a football. I started doing a bit of walking. I saved money.
Like, I doubled my salary.
Look, how'd you double your salary?
I just got, well...
You got a new job? Yeah. Oh, yeah, but that's not... Yeah, you didn't double your salary by I don't know...
Like, by this great new opportunity, selling masks indoors.
Yeah, joining a pyramid scheme. I actually did join a pyramid scheme. It was called Football Index.
You did, yeah.
Dragged into it by a mutual friend of ours, who also lost a load of money.
He's also suffering from cryptocurrency right
He's
now.
He's also suffering from crypto. God bless him. But yeah, I like the first lockdown. I think it was a good chance for everybody to pause. Sort of like, it was almost like a reset. Almost like a, you know, you learn new skills.
Yeah.
You know, I'd worked constantly for so long, what it felt like, just to be able to just...
Everyone had.
Yeah, and I actually went back to work in the June. So I actually only had 3 months. But that 3 months, I thought it was great. I played so much Football Manager. I got fit. I learned to cook. I wasn't smoking. I wasn't sinking 8 pints out of my mates. I thought it was a really good time.
Now look at you.
Now look at me. Absolute fuck disgrace. Me. Right, go on, your next one.
No, that first lockdown was fantastic.
Yeah, good.
After that, it got a bit weird.
Yeah. Do you remember our Zoom quizzes?
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
Oh,
it's a great one. Your family
Zoom
quiz was fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Great.
I have another one about my dysfunction.
My family. Next one, yeah. You talked earlier on about you and your science degree.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, sports science. Too many people get degrees. Degrees aren't as important as people make them out to be.
Oh, I agree with you completely.
Yeah. So, well, you were fucking flaunting it earlier.
No, I was just saying that I have a sports science degree, so that means I know something about sports.
Yeah, but we are just saying you don't know nothing because fucking degrees ain't shit.
No, but degrees teach you things, but they're not that useful.
They teach you shit.
But if you ask me, did I enjoy my uni experience, it was the best time of my life.
Yeah, one I loved it too, even though I dropped out for 2 years and stayed for four.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially now, getting older and being in this working world, I think this country, not to get too political here, this country has a massive problem in terms of management.
Yes. Both
from a public and private
perspective.
And I think part of the problem is all these people that have these degrees that don't really know much about actually how to work and persevere and do hard work. You know, they've got things to teach you, but after that, they don't actually know how to apply it in a way. I mean, to get jobs now is very, very difficult. It was always hard for me. And look, I'm someone that dropped out. I didn't get a degree.
You attended, though. You went to uni.
I attended. I did my part. You know, and I think that school, for the most part, probably wasn't something that was conducive to me being at my best. I think I got by with enough intelligence, you know, in retrospect, realising, all right, I'm not as stupid as I think I am. But to be judged by it, especially in, like, the workplace and, you know, they complain about a lot of politicians that have never worked a fucking day in their life making decisions for people that do because all they've done is study politics. They've never actually had a job. It's just all of this higher education stuff, I think, is needed for specialist areas. But when you get degrees and then you don't even apply it to whatever you're doing because it makes no sense, I don't know. I think maybe too many people aren't. Sometimes I think I probably should have started working straight out of secondary school.
What I'll say about university is, first of all, there's a two-tier university system. I knew university life when I worked at Middlesex. Now I work at UCL. Let me tell you, it is a different caliber of students. Like these, these students there are literally training to
They don't get students on clearing.
No, they not. There is no clearing at UCL. Like these students are training to be rocket scientists and physicists and biomechanists. And actually, a lot of them are going on to literally change the world. And I'm not saying that there's no space for unis like Middlesex. There has to be unis like Middlesex. If you want to be a PE teacher, if you want to be a nurse, if you want to, you know,
if you want to work at Tesco,
if you want to, whatever you want to do, there has to be a space for that. But saying that you have to have a degree to apply for this job and then this job actually doesn't need a degree, I agree with you completely. What I will say is, I don't think everybody needs to have a degree, and I don't think my degree is that useful. But uni was still the best time of my life, so I recommend anybody who wants to go and, you know, get involved in sports, go and play for a university team, meet people that you wouldn't necessarily hang around with. You know, we wouldn't be mates if we weren't
at
uni.
I went to uni.
That's what I'm saying. So it educates you socially.
That place loosened me up.
Yeah, it educates you socially. If me and you had have gone to uni, I'm saying me and you because we're a similar personality type. Yeah. If we'd have gone to a place like UCL, we wouldn't be speaking to no one we went to uni with. These kids, when I tell you, they are under so much pressure.
Yeah.
I work in assessment. I spend so much of the exam period looking at these kids and thinking, oh my God, you look like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. When I was your age and when I was at Middlesex, I was hungover, playing football, drinking, partying, going on tour at the end of the year, having the best time of my life. And these kids are bearing the weight of the world on their shoulders. So
I tell you what, I hope I'm fucking successful, because if we aim, they're winning.
They are. But a lot of them drive themselves insane over. They're such high achievers. So what I will say is that there's a two-tier education system. If you know, my dream is to, I want to build spacecraft. I want to work for NASA and I want to build spacecraft. Obviously, you're going to have to go and get a degree. If you want to go and have a great time, go to a uni like Middlesex. If you want to earn money, go out into the real world and earn some money. But there shouldn't be, and it's a problem I think you have in certain communities where there's this stigma attached to not having a degree, and it needs to go.
I think that's even part of our culture, though, because even so, I think if you haven't got a degree, you can only make it so far in the workplace. Like, you've got to, if you want to move up, they'll actually force you or say you should really get, like, you know, a master's in this or master's in that. Like, for me in building management, for me to make the most of my
career path.
My career path. It'd be much harder for me to get to the top if I don't have one of those degrees.
But what degree would they ask you to get? Like a.
It'd be the equivalency of a master's in building management, but run by a body like the IWFM, which is the Institute of Workplace Facilities Management.
But the problem with that is that most job applications say you must have a master's in building management or equivalent experience. Yeah. Your job now, you're getting the equivalent experience.
Yeah, so but if I get that degree, right, that'll mm-hmm. take me 4 years to do. That relevant experience will take me 10 to 12.
Right, okay, that makes sense.
I could do this degree now by 40. I could be director so-and-so. I could be up there head of department of a big, big company. Or I'd have to work for the next 15 years. So it's balancing it out.
So it's Chris Alley coming to a polytechnic uni near you soon?
No, really? We're coming to Ha Ha's and he's up in Nottingham.
Where's that?
I don't know. I just made up some shit.
Oh, right.
It's not a joke. I'm going to be a comedian.
Right. My third. That was your third, right?
That was, yeah.
Right. My third. We've touched on this already. Star Wars and Star Trek. It's crap. Same as Lord of the Rings. Any form of sci-fi. Any form of like. Amen. Any form of like. Like wizardry, other than Harry Potter, any form of like, any form of like Star Wars, Star Trek,
fantasy, Lord of the Rings,
fantasy, sci-fi, it's not my thing. It's rubbish.
Comic book, Marvel, DC.
Do I look like someone? If I'd have honestly, if I'd have said to my old man, right, he's going in for his 20 B&H gold, and I'd have said, Dad, can you get me that Marvel comic book? He'd have been fuming. It was literally Shoot magazine or Match magazine when I was a kid. But yeah, all of that nonsense. I always think it's funny when like these people go, yeah, I can't wait to watch my first Star Wars film with my son. I think, come on now, have a word with yourself, mate. Have a word with yourself. You obviously were a bit of an outcast in school yourself, and you're sending your son down the same route. Get him a football and a pair of boots.
I tell you what, you're gonna get some cancelled by some fucking. Convention some people,
isn't
yeah.
It? Yeah. There are these, well, some high school shooter in America will come after me.
Oh, jeez. Like,
right, but
you
yeah.
Come all the way over here. Well. I'll tell you what, now I was going to say, no, I actually was thinking about that. It was probably one of my honourable mentions, but like movies in general are shit. Like, but.
What, just
but,
all films?
You know me, I'm tough with movies, but especially, yeah, all those fantasy comic book, like Lord of the Rings was crap. You couldn't even watch it. You know, some of the Star Wars is fine. The comic book films, again, they're okay, but I just don't understand why they're so massive. But
yeah.
Not for me.
I was about to say no one who's close to me likes all that stuff, but then I remember my nephew Ed, who I love to pieces, absolutely loves Lord of the Rings.
this one might definitely get cancelled. You know, like all these initiatives to end homelessness. Homeless people, kind of in general, pretty much have no sympathy for them. That's in large part.
What, as in, like, what? As in, how? What percentage of them do you not have no sympathy for?
99% of them.
Fucking hell! Why?
Well, at least the ideas around it, because, like, you see all these charities and things. We need to end homelessness. Let's put a finish to it. You try keeping these people indoors and see what luck you have, right?
Yeah, I know what you're. I know where you're coming
from. And you know this from growing up in the areas that you have.
Yeah, yeah.
Growing up in the areas I have, right? Now, why people are in the streets, that is a whole other matter, right? I've just to back myself, you know, I've volunteered my times for a number of years. I was doing one called Heart and Soul, which was an arts charity for people with learning difficulties, right? These are people that would be out on the streets living homeless, right? Because that's what they think. A lot of homeless people aren't of right thought and right mind. Put that aside, they are homeless people that are staying out there asking for your money. Like, how many times do you give money to a homeless person and they actually do it to better themselves?
Yeah, I get that. But I also think that there has to be something better in place for people that, like, just... Like, imagine you was over here. Like, imagine you was from abroad somewhere, and, yeah. you're over here, and you lose your job,
that's
and then
different.
You default on your rent, and you're like, "Fuck, that's I'm different. Fucked now. I literally have nowhere to go."
That is the 1%.
Right. Okay.
That is different.
That's the person I'm talking about.
Occupational circumstances where people who actually can and most likely will make an attempt at making their life better for themselves and their family got you.
Because mm-hmm.
I'll back you.
Yeah. Because yeah? I'm saying like,
the people that are not conventionally of thought. Have no interest in being part of this society. We just figure out ways to take care of them a little bit better out in the streets. Yeah? When it comes to homeless people, I don't just ignore them. I won't give them money. I don't ignore them. I'll say hello. I've got a pal now who, because in my office now, he's homeless and he's on the same thing. We chat, I give him a cigarette, I buy him a meal. But
what is he like? He knocks about outside your building.
Grinding. His name's Peter. He's from Holland. Yeah, he helped me out get rid of some of these. Like, some of these people, homeless people, keep leaving their bags around my office in our bushes and stuff. So I was like, look, you've got to tell them they can't leave their bags here anymore, otherwise I've got to start throwing it away. Because they keep doing it and keep moving it. Next day, gone.
How old is this geezer?
God, shit. He probably looks older than he is, you know what I mean?
Like, but what is he? Our age? Is he 40s, young?
Maybe late 30s, 40s.
What's he doing over here? If he can, surely he's got family in Holland. He can go live with.
He's a fucking nutcase.
Oh, is he nuts?
He's a nutcase. He's an absolute. But he is a. He seems like a good guy, solid guy out there grinding, and he's probably on a different level where he's thinking about like starting a charity and whatnot. And then you go around there talking to him, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning, he's got a can of fucking white lightning in his hand, you know. So, like, you know, he's going to talk this stuff.
Should we get him on the pod?
Good. Oi, I tell you what, right? You know, one day, you know, probably would get him on the pod. But, and your house, not mine.
That might, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we have to get a studio, innit?
But, you know, it, for me, it isn't about, I'm going to sound harsher than I am. I just think it's pointless having these end homelessness initiatives. I mean, I don't think you can really end anything in this world in a lot of ways. But certainly with this homelessness. But also, it's not sustainable. We can't keep spending all this time and effort and sympathising. Oh, it's really sad that they're out there. The ones that are out there all the time. They're drug addicts. They're people that are fucked in the head. Approach them that way. Don't just say, let's put them in a cage. I don't think that it's a fucking cage.
No, that's fair.
They're outsiders.
A lot of what you said there is a lot less shocking than your initial comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, I think people would agree with that. So, my next one, Nando's. Average, like average. Nando's is all right if you're going to watch a film or something and you want something quick to eat. If you're out shopping in Bluewater or Lakeside or any other or Westfield, and you're like, right, we need to get some lunch. It's 3 o'clock and we've been shopping all day. Brilliant, go to Nando's. But these people that like, not so much now, it's died down, but like 10 years ago, people used to make Nando's their whole personality.
Wow, that's Ed Sheeran.
Cheeky Nando's. Yeah, Ed Sheeran's one of them. He blatantly didn't go to Nando's till he was about 25 and then decided to make it his personality.
Do you know what? It was common people that had social media made them celebrities. They're like, oh, my baby's taking me out for a cheeky Nando's.
Just embarrassing. It's just not that great. It's okay, but would you...
I will push back on you only because I think the people, when it comes to Nando's, don't, for some reason, place it in the wrong place. If you go to a Nando's, your opinion is not correct because it's good enough for you to go. And that's what Nando's is. Nando's is largely properly rated, maybe slightly overrated on occasions, but most people use it for what it is. It's good. If there was a couple options of like, all right, let's go to a chainy place where it's a quick meal, we can get in and out, Nando's is probably going to be one of your first options over Prezzo.
That's why I said you go if you're out shopping for the day and you need some lunch, or you go if you're going to
watch
a film.
That's probably going to be the number one option, right or wrong.
Yeah, if you're,
exactly.
But people that, like, I'll give you an example. Seth's two brothers came over last Christmas and they were like, you have to take us for a cheeky Nando's before we go. They'd heard so many people in this country gassing up Nando's that they were expecting, like, I don't know what they were expecting, but afterwards I was like, it's all right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like Cracker Barrel in America. Oh my God. Like, one of the best. They only have it in the South and it's like, it's proper.
But the food in America is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to Wendy's. I had to make a point to get Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A's good.
I got this Chick-fil-A sauce. Oh my God.
Levels above KFC. Levels above KFC.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
It's not even close, but takeaways here like that aren't that great.
No. But even like, there was a place in Tampa where you could order a Philly cheesesteak for lunch. There was options for lunch.
Yeah.
Here, if you want to eat healthy for lunch, what you got? You got maybe a Greg's. As in to order to your door on Uber Eats.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Maybe Greg's.
Subway.
That's not healthy though. Remember when we had a Subway before the Arsenal game? Like, before the Arsenal Fulham game. Well, no, we were just sitting there, and it was just like, when you think about it, we've just done 25 quid between us, and this is quite shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's shit. Whereas in America, there's just better options. But yeah, that's my Nando's.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Nando's is properly rated, but I can see your point when people say that.
What's your last one?
My last one, it's pretty much an anti-climax, but we're talking about food here. Nachos, overrated.
I agree.
Can't stand it.
They don't even fill you up.
The fuck are you talking about?
It's like eating a bag of Doritos.
It's so stupid.
With some guacamole on top.
You're more likely to have a bad one than a good one.
You might get some pushback off my missus on that.
Yeah, well, she loves it.
She loves it. But yeah, no, I'm with you. No, and no one has ever craved nachos.
But some people do. They've seen nachos on a menu.
They're showing off.
Fucking, their mouth is just dripping like dribble. You know, I've had some like proper fresh made nachos like in a proper Mexican place, and they are outstanding. But then all the stuff on top of it, it's just like, I'd rather have it to dip in rather than all on top. Why is it all on top? Why have I got to get messy? Why is the cheese sticking together? Why is there no cheese at the bottom ones? You know, once you get
once you get past the top layer, you're basically eating a bag of Doritos.
You end up having to make crisp sandwiches.
And paying like £9 for them. Don't get me wrong. If we're like when we go out for Christmas drinks, if someone brings a plate. I think I did that actually last Christmas.
Mark does it. You do it.
Yeah, because I think when you're like 5 or 6 or 7 pints in, it's nice to get some food for the table. And I remember I ordered a platter in Weatherspoons, and the nachos come out, and I was like, "Oh, these are nice." But I had probably 8 pints by then. Yeah. And you could have literally put a plate of shit in front of me, and I'd have gone, "Ah, proper this." But yeah, I agree with you. You made me change my last one. Actually, I'm going to do a food one. I'm not going to do the one. So I said this. I put this on Twitter the other day. If America had Indian food to the quality that we have here, Mexican food would be finished. It would be finished.
Ooh, I love it. Like, do you know how much? Do you know? I don't know if that's unpopular, but that is a banger opinion.
That is a
banger.
Yeah. The only reason Mexican food is so popular in America. It's they don't have Indian food.
That is fire.
Indian food is, in my opinion, the best food in the world, right? And if you could get a chicken madras, rice, sagaloo, a couple of samosas and poppadoms for £12, the same way you can get an enchilada or a taco for $12, I'm telling you, no one's craving tacos anymore.
Now, there is a rise in culture, particularly in California, because a lot of food comes out there, but there is a rising culture of Bangladeshi curry food coming through.
Most of our curry houses are owned by Bangladeshis.
But in America, I'm saying like,
is it the same
curries and stuff. Eh?
Is it the same as here?
What do you mean?
Like, is it the same quality?
I have not had it. But what I'm saying is that just the culture, the food culture of it in and of itself is starting to. So it will probably come up, you know, because food culture, especially in California.
Yeah, more people are traveling now as well.
And their food's so much better. Like, when we was in New York, we went to Long Island. And we just see this random food truck. And this is why it's such a good opinion, because or point, because I could disagree with you, because some of that Mexican stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't mind Mexican food.
You get proper tacos. It is on another level. We went to Long Island, went to this place where it was a nice view, and then we're just walking, and there was a food van, a taco one. So I said, "Oh, let's get a couple of tacos." She's like, "No, I'm not getting van."
You're missing.
Yeah.
Oh no, van tacos are naughty.
I said to her, I was like, "Why?" And she goes, "Oh no, van food's shit." I said, no, they do it differently here. Trust me. We got a couple of tacos, a fish one and a beef one. Ooh, she was like absolutely unbelievable.
It's spicy.
Well, in our, there was one with a bit of spice, but it was just excellent, right? And because she was thinking about, you know, getting a burger or a hot dog from a van.
No, this is different. This is different.
And especially in this country, when you go to like food festivals or things where there's going to be a lot of them, a lot of vans and stuff, I do think they're all in large part not even that good.
Yeah.
You go to a food fair in America, you go to a fucking van food there, it's legit.
Oh, and tacos in general. There's a place that Seth took me to in Tampa, and you literally go into like a petrol station, and it's out the back, and there's just like a chubby Latin American woman cooking these tacos, $1 each.
Ooh.
And you're like, yeah, I'll have 10, I'll have 5 fish, 5 beef, 5 chicken. And you sit there, and that was...
And you're right. They could be a Bangladeshi Indian curry
street
food where it's just going to be, and they will do it better.
Yeah. For me, it Indian food is my favorite.
Nice. Now you got, what was your one name?
My other one. But I feel like this could be. Mentions. I feel like the honourable. I feel like this could be again. It's such a nuanced subject. My thing is, I don't think MPs are paid enough.
Yeah.
And my argument,
said this before.
Yeah, my argument for that is that
this is quick. We wouldn't, it's an honourable mention.
Yeah, it's why we wouldn't end up with so many fucking idiot MPs.
Pay your talent.
Yeah. If you ended up paying them $300,000 a year, you'd end up with managing directors from Barclays Bank and stuff.
Pay for talent.
Actually coming and doing the job, as opposed to the fucking morons we have.
Pay for talent.
Yeah. What's your honourable mention?
Well, I've got a few. Bustle spats are shit.
Won't argue with that.
Cats are horrible pets. Cats are cunts. Mm.
They are cunts, but I don't mind a cat.
This is shit.
I think I'll get one when I get a house.
Michael Bublé is cool.
No, I never know.
Michael Bublé is very cool.
No, he would have cuts about in a suit all the time.
He's quality.
Not for work purposes. Yeah.
Last one, if Serena Williams played with men, she'd be 700th. No, so that's John McEnroe's opinion.
That's a good spot to end, I think.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it was nice seeing you. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's good.
I want to do another one now, but I'm tired.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's good.
All right, sweet.
See you later. Well, hopefully it's fucking recorded.
Yeah. Do I press stop?
Yeah, that's fine. Enough, probably.